Hey everybody, this is Paul with the Tech On-Ramp. Welcome to the Leadership in Tech podcast. We have an interesting episode on hand for you called Confessions of a Tech Employee.
You're the big, big boss. You tell me what to do, and I gladly do my job, but I don't like your attitude.
Hey there. Welcome back to our listeners, and glad to have any new ones on board. This is the Leadership in Tech podcast from the Tech On-Ramp. This is an interesting week, and probably a relieving one to our regular listeners, as Zach and Errol have used their tech and leadership skills to isolate the audio issue and fix it. Other than sounding great, this episode is an interesting one that gives us a bit of an inside look into companies like Google, from the view of a disgruntled employee. Tune in and check out episode 5, Confessions of a Tech Employee. We release a new episode every Tuesday. In the meantime, you can head over to techonramp.com for the show notes or for more info on our program. Add us to your favorite apps like Stitcher or SoundCloud, subscribe to us, and get new episodes as soon as they're uploaded. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at TechOnRamp for news and updates. Or you can find all our links, as well as blogs, bios, and ways to contact us at techonramp.com.
Now tell me, who do you think you are? Besides a person who happens to be in charge.
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
Wait, can I say something?
Yes.
How much better is this sound? I mean, I cannot even describe to you how wrong the microphones were set up for episodes 1 through 4, but you have to admit this is better, right?
I don't even know what to say.
I feel like this is the combination of tech and leadership. You said episodes 1 through 4 sound like and I have now done a tech thing and listen to this.
Oh, it was so ridiculous.
Did you know when you were recording episode 1, the mic you were holding in your hand was not even on? I don't know why you were holding it. You were just holding it to your mouth, but it was not recording anything.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so embarrassing. It was... The only reason why my voice was louder than your voice was because the random recording thing in the middle of the table was pointed at me.
Yeah, it pointed away from me, so I sounded really far away.
Oh, my God.
But listen to this. This is way better.
Well, I have headphones on, and I can actually hear what's happening, and it sounds like... I don't even want to talk about how stupid we were on that first
YouTube set. Videos, man. You can find anything on YouTube. They will tell you how to set this stuff up.
So that's it. That's today's lesson. Technology, go to YouTube. All right, everybody. Have a great New Year. See ya. So we're driving over here, and we're talking about how you know exactly what to do. And you're like, okay, you have your headphones, right? I'm like, what? I don't have headphones. What about the headphones that I had last time that were useless? Oh, I don't know where those are. Well, do I need headphones? Well, I guess. Well, do I need them or not? Yeah, you definitely need them.
But what's sad is I still can't quite explain to you why you need them because I'm not quite sure. But I think you need them.
Well, I can hear, like, at least now I can hear into these headphones. So it's even if they're not serving any purpose at all, they're working.
All right.
That is really... A step in the right direction.
We're golden.
Oh my God. What a waste of time. What are we doing here?
Maybe you got lucky. Maybe you worked real hard. And just maybe that doesn't make you smart.
So we're talking about a Google article today.
Google employees confess all things they hated most about working at Google. And let's just caveat this. We should all be as unsuccessful as Google and have as many disgruntled employees, right? Well, so
Google is the best place to work in the world.
This is people, you know,
this is probably like the complainers.
Yeah.
So it's a grain of salt.
Right. But some of the issues are real. You know, some of the issues are real. They're not going to take down Google, but there are issues that exist everywhere. And that's kind of what we're going to just kind of talk about, right? So even a company like Google, that's Google, experiences real leadership issues in technology.
Let me tell you what my favorite one was. Staff are rewarded for dreaming up new things, even when new things aren't needed, which leads to imaginative, unmaintained nightmares, frequently based on discarded shells of other platforms nobody maintained. We had 4 internal-only official JavaScript libraries. Why? Because writing an innovative new library could get you a promotion.
Right.
So that's fascinating. That happens everywhere.
Like, you needed to expound on that to me because, you know, my point was, so people are just working on whatever they want to work on and not doing their jobs, and that is fairly normal?
I mean, I've totally seen this at some of the companies I've worked for. If I'm a programmer and I want to get a promotion this year, like, what can I do to get a promotion? Right. Maybe invent something new. Like, right. Maybe there's my normal day job and you're my boss and you tell me I should, like, go... you know, enhance that database. But if I do it in an innovative way and create a tool that could be used by my team members, I could be like sort of famous internally on our team.
Right.
And then maybe you'll promote me.
On the surface, doesn't sound terrible, right? You're trying to do great things and you want to get promoted. But
I'm going above and beyond.
I think what you were describing, though, is how people almost discard what they're supposed to be doing for a project. That gets lost in the shuffle somehow.
Yeah, like, so it goes back to what we were talking about in the last episode. Just sort of the nature of knowledge work is such that there's so many tasks going on and so much complexity,
right,
that there's so many places you can hide.
Right.
Right. Your project, I mean, you must have worked on projects in the FBI where there's so many moving parts and so many sort of things that could go wrong that a state of gridlock could be achieved. And so I was like, oh, I have time to go do something else. What am I going to go do? Let's go build something new.
Right. You know, and it's a good comparison, right? Because when I was a special agent at the FBI, you worked all sorts of cases. You worked little cases that you could really work yourself. You worked massive cases that required coordination literally across the world with other organizations. And the common denominator to those cases, whether they were big or small, was still the leadership. And it was... We've talked about self-leadership, right? It's me as the case agent of a case, big or small, leading myself, setting my own guidelines, keeping myself accountable for certain things. But then as there are more spokes to the wheel, so to speak, there are a lot of places there can be gridlock. And the common denominator is the leader, right? Do you identify that gridlock? Do you solve that problem? Do you move on? Or do you let there just be gridlock and everybody's kind of quote on, you know, I'm using my air quotations, everybody's still doing work, but nobody's really doing the work that gets the job done.
Yeah, the work that matters.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of cases that just spin and spin and spin because there is a gridlock somewhere or something's too hard, but everybody's kind of working on it, but they're still doing their own things and they're hoping somebody takes it to the next level so they can get some credit. When you have a leader, that doesn't happen, right?
So wait, so first, so you're saying that sort of the notion that my project's stuck, I have a little free time, maybe if I go build a tool, it would be an avenue for me to get a promotion, is not fundamentally flawed.
It's not fundamentally flawed because we can't punish people for wanting to get ahead, for wanting to enhance their career, to get promoted. The point is, though, if they're doing that in lieu of their responsibilities, and maybe it's because, you know, the project is stuck somewhere else, it's not your fault. The point is that that still falls on the leader to properly manage that for that employee. Whether that's that employee's MO, just wants to keep rising through the ranks, that's fine. It's up to the boss, the leader, to know that about that person. So they can say, okay, great. If your goal is to get promoted, we're going to set a track for you. We're going to get some goals, put them down together, and we're going to make sure within the confines of what our initial goals are, you know, or what our team goals are, what our contracts are, right? We're going to get you to where you need to be. So that way, it's all productive. If that project is stuck somewhere else, But that person who wants to get promoted says, look, my part of the project isn't due for 2 weeks, but I finished it. Here it is. It's good to go. Run it over. Now let's talk about what I can do until we get this other project unstuck. That's good stuff. That's good leadership. Now, then it's incumbent upon the leader to find where that project is getting stuck, unstick it, you know, solve the problem, and get everybody moving again.
So you're almost implying there that there's some communication happens. So it's not Zach off on his own deciding to write a new tool, surprise everybody, give me a promotion. It's I'm talking to my boss and saying, hey, I have an idea for a tool. I have some extra time. I did what I was supposed to do. Can I do this in a framework on the side, outside of my sort of contract of official responsibilities,
yeah,
to put me on a career?
Yeah, track? And again, it should be, as we talk about self-leadership, right? So as that employee, or, you know, who has to obviously report to somebody, you know, if that's not happening inherently from your boss, yeah, bring it to your boss, you know? And if it's a bad boss, again, your intentions can be great. It will still break down, right? Because who knows how that boss responds to your, you know, desire to do something great and get promoted. So again, that's the importance of leadership. You can only do so much almost as an individual. If you've got a terrible boss, they'll hamstring you. They will really hamstring you. What's our point? We're talking about leadership. Why is leadership in tech so important? Well, if people have the natural inclination to do that, that's got to be managed for the greater good, right? We want everybody to get ahead. We want people to get promoted. We want people really to be happy and do what they want and be creative. But if that's not managed properly inside the confines of a project, right? We talk about, you know, my days as a SEAL, those operations guys want to get promoted, right? SEALs want to get promoted. They need to do extra things.
What do they do?
As a platoon leader, that's part of what our goals are. You sit down with everybody, say, look, what are our goals for the year? Where are you on your promotion? What are your desires? What do you need to do to get promoted? Okay. Well, I need to do A, B, C, and D. That's a lot. Okay. So we have the basic things as SEALs, as a SEAL platoon that we need to do. Those come first. But the good news is, right, everybody wins here. You get your stuff done, your requirements as whatever you are, and that, you know, you're a radioman, right, in the SEAL platoon. You've got all these things you need to do as radioman to function, to do your part in the overall good of the SEAL team and whatever that mission is. If you have 2 weeks to get those things done, right, that's fine. You get them done in 2 weeks. They're done properly. I follow up. I get reports. Everything's good. But if you're so motivated, you get them done in a week. Well, that's pretty good. That's a bullet for you. This guy gets work done in half the time it takes. And then that extra week you have, now we're doing things for you personally. You know, whatever they might be. Maybe we send you to a school. Maybe we send you at a temporary duty somewhere else to get some different experience. But everybody wins there. Right. So, you know, it's a bullet point. This girl gets things done twice as fast as they need to get done. And then on their own time goes and does these four things. Now they're promotable.
So you're drawing a distinction there between the contract of their responsibilities and then going above and beyond. It's important to draw that line, like get your stuff done first.
Yep.
And then.
Yeah.
Work,
you know,
on the extra
and
stuff.
And that comes down, and that's the leader. Right? So we're going to keep harping. What are we talking about? What is really the point? The point is leadership and technology. So you're not going to be able to tell me that this is a unique problem in technology, because I don't even need to know the ins and outs of technology. All I know is I experience it. You experience it in the FBI, working huge cases. When I was in the private sector, I sold software. The sales cycle has that. It exists everywhere. When you have that leader to identify what the team needs to do, okay, and then works with you individually on what your goals are, everything works out.
So if I take myself back, so I've been on both sides of that. I've certainly been the programmer who wanted to write the cool new tool,
right,
to get a little notoriety inside the team. And yep, you're saying that that's not a bad sort of notion.
Yeah.
And I've been the manager of the team who definitely encouraged innovation. Bob, you have an idea for a new tool. Amazing. So I've cultivated a team where there's maybe duplicate and triplicate tools because I was fostering innovation. But what I didn't do, maybe number one, is always know where the gridlock was in the higher level project and realize that was my job mm-hmm. to remove that gridlock. So right. why does Bob have so much time? Because his main project's gridlocked. Great, Bob. You have free time. Be innovative. But I got to also go take care of the gridlock
yeah.
and get him back on his thing. Number one. And number two, draw that distinction between Bob. You're accountable for XYZ. Let's talk about the innovation after I see XYZ.
Yeah, because
that, like holding that line.
That's because that's got to be first. Because what you have out there are resume builders, right? And that's look, it's a reality, and you know, good leadership just needs to identify that. Because but what you'll find is those resume builders, they put their primary job second so they can do all these innovative things and say, well, I did all these things. Well, in my mind, if I'm the leader of that group, that person, I don't care what innovative thing they do. Good for you. You probably need to find a different job because your real job here is this. And you're not doing that. Like you were hired to do A, but instead you're doing C, D, and E so you can put it on your resume. If they're held accountable, and sometimes they can't be, and that's when now this whole process, and we're going to someday get into how do you fire somebody. I know it's a whole, you know, it's a whole thing, but the first step is accountability. The first step are, what is your job? What are we requiring you to do? Are you completing that? And then what are you doing after that to go above and beyond? If somebody does their primary job faster and better than everybody else, there's no better first step for promotion. If you don't do your primary job, if you're the sticking point, but you're inventing some other things, I can't have you working for me. You're not helping me. You're not helping the team. You're not helping anything. So, and it's the leader's job to identify that and really ultimately help that person, if that's what they want, to get promoted, to understand your job first. And here's your job. Is there any questions? Here are the deadlines. Here's the updates I need. Here's how it's supposed to look.
So my mind's going to, you're coming to tell me that you have extra time and let's talk about innovation. Whoa. You have extra time.
Yeah.
Where is your project gridlocked? Because I need to go deal with that first. Yeah. Then let's talk.
Yeah, I mean, and look, it's not easy. It's all a moving target. But the essence of what we're saying is, as a leader, it's your job to let people know exactly what their job is, what their primary responsibilities are. You know, deadlines, when you expect those things to be done. And then if there is a gridlock somewhere, identify that gridlock and fix it. And it doesn't mean fix it by going to do the work yourself, right? That's one of the things we've talked about a lot, I guess, in technology. You know, smart people get promoted because they're smart. So their inclination is to say, all right, well, there's a problem over here. I will just write that code and get it moving. Well, that's a short-term fix. That might work. And there may even be a situation for that. Your job as a leader, if there's gridlock in a project, is to identify where that gridlock is and ungrid it, fix it. And, you know, what you were telling me about some of the problems in leadership and technologies, you know, smart people get promoted, and that's fine, but they're promoted because they're smart. So their inclination might be, all right, there's a problem over here. I'm just going to go do that part of the project myself.
Been there.
To unjam it. And I'll write that code myself. Now, there might be an instance where that's the appropriate action as a leader, but that's not the go-to, right? Because what we would say, you know, in the SEAL teams, as a platoon commander, if there's a firefight and I'm focused on banging away at certain targets, you know, who's leading the platoon? Who's telling them it's time to move? It's time to get back. It's time to call in airstrikes. You know, So my job is not.
Maybe it's the more comfortable thing to do. It's not the right thing to do.
That's right. And it's you know, kind of feels good. Like, yeah, I was hammering away at the enemy, man. Well, no, I'm in charge. My job is to lead the guys hammering away at the enemy, right? I'm a SEAL, but I'm a leader of SEALs. And some of those guys' job is to shoot as many bad guys as they can see. That's their job. And my job is to make sure they're doing, yes, that's your job. You guys keep putting that, you know, the M60 gunner, your job is to just fire that big weapon and make it seem like we have 45 people here. You're doing your job. That's good. Now I can go over there. Hey, that guy's job is to be calling in, you know, our extract. Stop shooting, Radioman. get on the radio and call in, you know, our helo. That's my job. My job, you know what I mean? My job is not to get on the radio and do it. It might be in an instance. So where am I jammed up in this firefight, right? I'm jammed up because we are not laying suppressing fire. My M60 gunners are doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. My job is not to take the M60 and fire rounds so it looks like we have three times as many people. That's not my job as the platoon commander. My job is to make sure, get those rounds down range, suppress and fire, get their heads down so we can get out of here, right? That's my job. Now, there have been instances where maybe the M60 gunner gets shot and I'm right there and we need suppressing fire and that's, we are just down people. Yeah, maybe I will get on that weapon and fire away, but I better do it fast and then I better get to my primary job, right? So, and that's kind of the analogy that we're talking
about. It's the same thing.
It's totally the same thing. It's your job as the smartest guy at that tech company when there's a project and it's stuck is not to go fix it yourself. It's to find out why it's stuck, fix it there, and then let the whole thing get moving again. If you have expertise to add to it, that's fine. But if you're doing that, who's leading the rest of the project? So
yeah, that happens all the time. I mean, I've done that, right? If you're promoted, I mean, I'll say it. I know I'm good at writing software. That might be my best skill, far better than being a leader. And so when you sort of get jammed up, you want to just revert to what you're good at.
Right.
I know I can do that. I'm a sniper and I can hit the target.
I'll just do it
myself.
I'm just
going to take the gun. I'm just going to do it myself. These guys can't do anything. I'll just do it myself.
Yeah.
And so that's the natural inclination. I guess you got to fight off.
Yeah.
Say, whoa, whoa, I got to fix the system.
Right. It's a losing prospect, and it's, again, there might be situations where that is the thing to do, but they're few and far between, and there's a really good reason for it. So, you know, this notion that people go off on their own, that's the leader's fault. That's the leader's fault. Even if that employee is a bad employee and they, you know, you're just having trouble with them, if it's happening, it's the leader's fault. Okay. And if it's happening with good people, like people who want to get promoted, people who want to do amazing things, that's a good problem to have, you know, because then they're easy to be able to tell, well, fine, finish your part of the project in half the amount of time. And then we can figure out what we can do for you, what we need, or then I need you to help me go unclog a problem somewhere, help working on that. Those are things that will get you promoted. You know, those are things that people want. Like this person gets the done work early. I never need to review it because it's always right. And then they go help everybody else. Tell me who doesn't want that person working for them. Tell me who's not going to promote that person. But if that's not happening and people are just kind of going willy nilly in the projects, letting them flounder, that's not their fault, man. That's the leader's fault.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening to Leadership in Tech from the Tech On-Ramp. If you're a fan and you want to help us, please leave us a review and rate us on iTunes. Or you could just share our link on your Twitter or Facebook or with your friends and family. If you want to find out about Errol and what he does, go to leader193.com. And for more info on Zach and I and what we do, our website is salt.io. To see how we are coming together to revolutionize leadership inside tech, just go to techonramp.com. You can now find our podcast, Leadership in Tech, at Stitcher.com, PocketCast.com, SoundCloud.com, Player.fm, iTunes, and Google Play Music, with more coming soon. See you guys next time.
big, big boss. You tell me what to do, and I'd gladly do my job. But I don't like your attitude. I don't like your attitude.